This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pynchon, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on November 1st, 2013. The topics of the articles in this podcast are vascular disorders and traumatic brain injury. Durable thrombosis in a rat model of arteriovenous malformation treated with radiosurgery and vascular targeting. A laboratory investigation by Rajesh Reddy and colleagues. Many arteriovenous malformations, or AVMs, are untreatable because of their size and/or location. The authors investigated the durability of a new technique for stimulating thrombosis in AVM vessels. They used a two-stage treatment. First, radiosurgery was used to promote molecular changes in the AVM endothelium, specifically externalization of phosphatidyl serine from the inner cell membrane to the external surface. Second, a vascular targeting agent, a combination of lipopolysaccharide and soluble tissue factor, was injected systemically to stimulate thrombosis in those vessels with altered endothelium. The authors had previously shown that this technique produces early thrombosis. The present study was performed to test the durability of the thrombosis. A total of 32 rats serving as a model of AVM were divided into three groups that received vascular targeting agent plus radiotherapy, vascular targeting agent without radiotherapy, or saline plus radiotherapy. Among those that received vascular targeting agent plus radiotherapy, the rate of thrombosis in small vessels was 58%. Among those that received vascular targeting agent without radiotherapy, the rate of thrombosis was 43%. And among those that received saline plus radiotherapy, the rate was 12%. Thrombosis was durable for at least 90 days. These results show that the thrombosis induced by the new technique is durable. More work is required to refine the technique to produce higher thrombosis rates and to identify other molecular targets. Surgical management of traumatic brain injury. A comparative effectiveness study of two centers. A clinical article by Jed Hartings and co-authors. The use of decompressive craniectomy to treat refractory elevated intracranial pressure after brain trauma has received considerable attention. However, decompressive craniectomy may also be performed in conjunction with emergency evacuation of a mass lesion as an alternative to traditional craniotomy to preempt a later rise in intracranial pressure and prevent associated complications. The authors of this paper assessed practice variation in surgical treatment of brain trauma. They compared effectiveness between one neurosurgical center in the United States and another similar practice in Europe. Both centers enrolled brain trauma patients requiring surgery into a neuromonitoring study. Patients at both centers had poor prognoses associated with contusions and subdural hematomas, and they had similar indications for surgery. Despite these similarities, at the U.S. center, craniectomies were performed more frequently. Bone flaps were 50 to 80% larger in area, and surgeries were performed earlier. These differences corresponded to better postoperative courses at the US center, including lower intracranial pressures, lower incidence of spreading depolarizations, and better neurological outcomes. The authors note that these results show considerable practice variation in surgical management of severe brain trauma and suggest that patients requiring mass lesion evacuation may benefit from early decompressive craniectomy, even when intracranial pressure is not monitored prior to the operative decision. High incidence of ICA anterior wall aneurysms in patients with an anomalous origin of the ophthalmic artery. Possible relevance to the pathogenesis of aneurysm formation. A clinical article by Masahiro Indo and co-workers. The authors of this study focused on the relationship between ICA anterior wall aneurysms and the origin of the ophthalmic artery. They reanalyzed the records of angiographies collected over the past 7 years at Saitama Medical Center. The incidence of anomalous origins of the ophthalmic artery was 1.89%, while that of ICA anterior wall aneurysms was 0.97%. The risk of forming ICA anterior aneurysms was approximately 50 times higher in patients with an anomalous origin of the ophthalmic artery. According to angiographic classifications, saccular aneurysms were significantly more common in patients with an anomalous origin of the ophthalmic artery than in those with a normal ophthalmic artery. 10 of 16 patients with ICA anterior wall aneurysms underwent craniotomies. Based on the intraoperative findings, all 6 aneurysms with normal ophthalmic arteries were dissecting or blood blister-like ones without firm aneurysmal walls. The present study sheds light on a close relationship between the location of the ophthalmic artery origin and the predisposition to ICA anterior wall aneurysms. It also indicates a possible relevance of the origin of the ophthalmic artery and the pathology of ICA anterior wall aneurysms. These findings provide critical information in determining surgical strategies for ICA anterior wall aneurysms. Thank you for listening. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org.